Red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Text appears, a Netflix comedy special, Veer Das Landing. The screen toggles between waves washing up on shore and Veer Das as he gets on stage.
All the way from Mumbai, please welcome Veer Das.
Veer walks out to a crammed auditorium, his hand to his chest, wearing a dark double-breasted buttoned-up kurta with sleeves rolled up to his elbows, casual pants and white sneakers. He places an egg cup on one of the two black stools on stage. People applaud with their hands in the air. The auditorium is lit with a blue hue. Veer walks across the stage, stopping and bowing as he greets the audience with folded hands. He takes the mic off the stand and moves the stand out of the way.
Thank you very much. Relax, thank you. That was aggressive. I was already terrified before I came out. I'm doing stand-up comedy in 2022. Anything could happen tonight. I could be arrested, assaulted, stabbed, slapped, even worse, discussed on Reddit. I don't know how your evening goes. Maybe you get home, digitally alter photographs of yourself to prove that you had a real-life experience on a platform designed to give you depression and anxiety by trading your data for dopamine. In a world in which your news is fake but your comic books are real, and the only thing we can really be certain about tonight is some billionaire CEO with like baller money and virgin energy will put his little rocket inside a supermodel or space or both. Welcome to the show, guys.
Veer paces to the left of the stage.
Tonight, New York City, I'd love to take you home. Do you want to go home with me, yeah? Lovely. Your home. I might not be allowed back into mine.
Veer sprinkles sand on the floor.
I just want to see who I'm working with this evening. You guys look like a good bunch. I see Indian people. I see people who are sleeping with Indian people. I see random white people who thought Veer Das was German. I see you guys as well. Didn't look at the poster.
Veer puts the cup down.
Home is wherever feels safe because we live in an unsafe world. Can we agree on that? I just got back from London, England. Unsafe! Central London, in my hotel, a block away, the middle of the afternoon, 82-year-old couple out for an afternoon walk, murder in broad daylight. Yeah. The guy they killed was so young, right?
He bends and makes a stabbing motion.
The old guy stabbed him while the old lady tried to rob him, because old British ladies don't normally, like, kill people. They let other people do it and give them knighthoods.
He looks on seriously and slowly breaks into a smile.
They do the robbing, right? It's not stolen wealth, it's commonwealth, right?
He gestures with air quotes.
Is this too soon? I'm sorry, I don't care. The only queen I like has Yas before her title. I like Yas queens. You think anyone said that? They're all gathered around. She's like, William, you must unite the family. Make up with your brother. And he's like, Yas queen.
Veer snaps his fingers in the air.
I don't know. Then you come to New York, every saying about your city is partially true. And they're like, you know, fuck with New York. Nobody can shut down New York. Very powerful. And then it rains for 3 minutes.
He throws his hand into the air dramatically.
And you guys give up on life. And not even real rain, this weak-ass North American rain, right? This purposeless mist that just hangs around your face like multiple alcoholics having an animated conversation.
Veer mimics water splashing on his face.
Listen, I come from Mumbai. There is a monsoon in Mumbai, right? That's God's orgasm right there. In Mumbai, they come on your face for 3 months a year. Mumbai rain is so strong, it causes loss of hearing. Did you know that? You ever seen Indian people do this shit?
He bubbles his head.
It's trauma, you racist. People told me New York City was unsafe. I disagree. I've driven through the rest of America. You drive through these lovely woods and forests, basically the setting of every true crime documentary you have ever watched in your life. America is just miles and miles where you can bury bodies, interrupted by cities that supply them. Mumbai, one of the safest cities in the world. Do you know why? No place to bury a body in Mumbai, that's why. You can bury a body 10 feet underground in Mumbai. The next morning, there'll be laundry hanging from that body. That body will be an extra in a Bollywood movie.
He strikes a pose.
Because in Mumbai, death is no excuse for unemployment.
He mimics counting money with his fingers.
What I like, though, is you have a nice sense of community in small towns. right? Like a college kid goes missing in the forest. In 5 minutes, all the people in town come together, hold hands, and go into the forest to look for that kid. In 5 minutes, Angela!
He walks with his arm outstretched.
This way. Angela!
Yo, you could not pay me enough money to go into a forest with white people.
He shakes his head disapprovingly.
That's how cults get started. 10 white people and a vulnerable brown man in wildlife, I will be declared your leader. I promise you. Like if you came to me and you're like, Veer, there's a college kid missing in the forest. Do you know what I would do immediately? I would call my cousins back home in India. Because now there is a vacancy in that college.
He has a wicked smile on his face.
Guys, one man's death is another man's degree. This is all I'm saying. It says something about your society, though, that an act of violence is an anomaly worth documenting instead of the norm. You know, white people are in danger, people get proactive. They send cameras into a forest. Black people and brown people are in danger, we just hold up our cell phones and film them.
He mimics holding a cell phone.
All black and brown true crime documentaries are shaky handheld footage at best. Because there's no sense of mystery, right? In white true crime, the killer is never found. In black or brown true crime, the killer is on camera, in uniform. Guys. I'm just here to eat some beef and then I leave tomorrow, all right? Relax. I think the only country that has it together is Russia. They're just like, life is short, we party.
He makes a rock sign with his hand.
The most badass Russian I met this year, I went to the KGB museum in Prague. If you haven't been, you must go. It's not a museum, it's a 10-foot by 10-foot basement with a racist Russian man inside. Opening of the door, very powerful. He comes out from behind a curtain, he's like, hello.
He pretends to open a door abruptly.
Welcome to Museum of KGB.
He does a dance step.
Like the name was a secret. I was in immediately. I was like, you had me at K.
He repeats the dance step.
I was converted. For 2 weeks, I followed my wife around the house naked, just going kichipi.
He lifts his shirt and does a pelvic thrust.
As some of you will do later tonight. Your wife, not mine. The high point of this tour is the propaganda. He's like, all right, everybody come close. I tell you a secret. In World War II, Hitler had 3,000 tons of Nazi gold. At the end of the war, they only find 150 tons of Nazi gold. Nobody know where rest of gold go. But many years later, America is most powerful country in the world. And I was like, I underpaid for this tour. It was a beautiful, ironic moment, right? To stand there as an Indian and pretend to disapprove of undeclared gold.
Veer draws in a quick breath and walks to the side of the stage covered in sand.
Oh. You think Nazi gold is a conspiracy? You haven't heard of Auntie Gold, have you? Every single Indian woman here tonight has a bank locker her husband knows nothing about. With gold that Indiana Jones couldn't fucking find. You will find Christ's chalice before you find Manju's necklace, all right?
Veer sits on the stool.
But home is where you feel safe, can we agree?
Veer takes a sip from the glass.
This is something I think about. On an Air India flight from Newark to Mumbai, on the 27th of November 2021, I'm going home. A younger Air India air hostess who's about 65 comes up to me and offers me a glass of gin. I refuse the gin. She says, Mr. Das, just drink the damn gin. The reason she insists, we both feel that when I land in Mumbai, I'm going to be arrested and taken to prison. Now, I have prepared in my own way to go to prison. I have stopped shaving, begun doing push-ups. The reason that I'm in trouble, I have recently done a video about my country at the Kennedy Center called the Two Indias video.
Veer is about to say something, waits for the applause to simmer down. He raises his index finger in the air.
You say that now. The video is about the duality in my nation and the need for us to unite in the light. It has caused a lot of duality in my nation. And many people have united in being pissed off at me.
He points a finger at himself.
I've been the number one trend in the country for 3 weeks, had 7 criminal complaints filed against me, being charged with sedition and defaming India on foreign soil. I was called a terrorist on 3 different news channels on the primetime news. That is an interesting conversation with your mother that evening. Just watching the news, like, remember how you said you don't know how to describe what I do for a living?
Veer points awkwardly towards an imaginary TV while play-acting the scene with his mum. He gets off the stool and walks.
The headline said, Veer Das is a terrorist. And I just remember thinking, this is so insulting to actual terrorists.
He gestures passionately towards the audience.
Can you imagine how terrorists feel? They're like, bro, this guy? We choreograph acts of violence 10 years in advance. But now we have to do spoken word performance, apparently.
He does a dance step.
New York, I never got any feedback from any terrorist groups, I promise you. I never got a phone call. Hey, Veer, ISIS, huge fans, love your work.
He pretends to hold up a phone.
Veer, where are you doing your next comedy special? No, we know you try Netflix, but we'd like you to try ISIS. Veer, I don't know if you know this, but ISIS has way more subscribers than Netflix. Which is true, they do. Much better family sharing plan. And really, ISIS and Netflix just want the same thing, which is for you to blow up. I was on the news here too. I was on CNN and I was like, when did they start doing the news? I was on the BBC homepage, big headline that said, comedian polarizes the nation. Do you know how badly you have to fuck up before the British say that you divided India?
He walks pensively across the stage and stands on the sand.
Certain parties back home begin lobbying for my citizenship to be revoked on the grounds that I am not a pure Indian. I have been polluted by Western thought. Be very careful of people who celebrate purity. And that's not even history, that's just basic Harry Potter. They start a hashtag, they're like, Veer Das is a slave. Western slave, which would be offensive to me, except my last name is Das.
He shoots a disapproving grin.
I'll translate, don't worry, non-Indians, don't worry, I got you. Like, so Das literally means slave. But my first name is Veer, so apparently I'm a brave slave.
He smiles mischievously.
Which, isn't that all slaves, really? You ever met a nonchalant slave? Yeah, I'm a slave, it's pretty chilled out, yeah, it's, you know. Mostly work from home, their home, hashtag blessed. While it offends me, they're not wrong. I was raised abroad, partially, so I've always felt kind of stuck, right? I'm too Indian for the West, but too Western for India. Does that make sense to anybody? That's easy applause, I'll break it down, all right? Like, okay, check it out. I'm not so Indian that I would study to be a doctor. Mm-mm. No, but like, I'm Indian enough where I would never use a white doctor.
Veer squints his eyes in bewilderment and looks at the audience in the front row.
Is this... I would let an Indian engineer treat me before a white doctor. I don't need curative medicine, I need cheap, efficient solutions now.
He snaps his fingers.
I don't need probiotics for gut health, I need a belt that burps me every 5 minutes. Bencho, let's go.
He beats his chest rapidly.
Okay. I have my eye on Western policy, so I believe that the abortion ruling in America is a travesty. Anything under 29...
He signals the audience to cut the applause.
Anything under 29 weeks, I believe, is a woman's body and her choice alone. I believe that, all right? But I'm also Indian.
Veer leaps onto the sand.
So I believe that anything over 7 years, a parent should be able to take a slipper and murder their child.
He mimics a spanking.
I believe in long game abortion.
He raises his hand in the air.
And I look forward to your vote now. And long game discipline. When I was 17, my best friend and I crashed his father's car. His father kicked his own son in the balls.
Veer holds up two fingers.
He disciplined two generations that evening, guys. My best friend is a son now. His son's first words were, I'm sorry, Papa.
He looks disdainfully and walks off the sand.
Like, I perform in America, so I worry about being shot. In America, I think you need gun control legislation immediately. But I'm also Indian.
He jumps back into the sand.
So I want to be friends with at least that one guy who has a gun. In case shit goes down, I can call Punjab and be like, Manjeet, I need you. And I'm not insinuating that all Punjabi people have guns. Relax. Some of them have blades and swords. Much quicker. Human beings are just fruit with feelings.
Veer walks off the sand.
Like, I learned English first, so my English is stronger than my Hindi. But I believe that Hindi is a stronger language than English. There are beautiful words in Hindi that English doesn't have the power to express as a language. Beautiful words like...
Veer gestures with his hand and looks annoyed.
That's a Hindi word.
He points to the audience.
Non-Indians, have you heard us do that shit, yeah? It means about 40 different things. Come on, everybody do it with me. Come on, I'm happy.
He lifts his hand in the air.
I'm sad.
He bends his knees.
Fuck you.
He raises his middle finger.
Fuck me.
He does a pelvic thrust.
White people can't make that noise. You need years of humidity and cynicism to happen.
He moves his hand around his face.
Give white people like 10 more years of climate change and Donald Trump, they'll all be walking around like, God damn it. But like, I'm not so confident in English that I would have sex in English. I have sex in Hindi. Because English sex is very confident, right? It's like, yeah, girl.
He postures like a burly man.
I'm about to clap those cheeks, girl. Chill. We about to smash. AF, girl. I don't have sex like that. When I have sex, I'm like, Nekia ji, bahut bahut shukriya aapka. Khuda aapka khayal rakhe bas.
He bends forward humbly and expresses gratitude.
Duaon mein yaad rakhna bas. Non-Indians, that is the only joke I will not translate for you this evening. Purely for my self-esteem. A campaign is circulated among school children who are making my video viral. The campaign says, if you ever get a chance to speak to a crowd abroad, be a Swami Vivekananda, not a Veer Das, with a picture of both of us together. This is a lot of pressure in New York City, can we agree? To compare comedians to spiritual gurus, nobody does the reverse.
He looks seriously at the audience.
I've never read a review in the newspaper entertainment section. Dalai Lama, not as funny as we thought he was gonna be.
He gestures news headlines.
Jesus Christ, better magician than comedian. Moses keeps repeating the same 10 jokes. Get new material, Moses. Muhammad loved the book, hated the cartoon. Yeah, let's talk about death threats. We get so many. My family is instructed to turn their phones off because we get tens of thousands of death threats. And I don't say that to manufacture sympathy or bravado. I'm nobody's victim, nobody's hero. All right, Indians are very passe about death threats anyway. Like, you threaten an American's family, they feel triggered.
He uses air quotes.
Indians, you can literally look at us, and guys, I'll translate now. You can look at an Indian and be like, tere baap.
He points towards somebody.
Ko maar ke uska khoon pi jaunga. Translation, I will kill your father and drink his blood. You can say that to an Indian person out loud and we'll be like, okay.
He puts one arm on his waist, depicting defiance.
Try. But not on Tuesday, huh? It's non-veg technically, so. I also get 1.8 million social media followers across platforms in 72 hours between the age of 18 and 25. I'm sitting on the youngest, largest, most progressive, dumb fuckest audience I've ever had in my life. Are you here tonight, 18 to 25? Make some noise.
Veer points to the audience.
You dumb bastards, why? Don't get me wrong, I love your money. But you make me feel like the creepy uncle at the disco, you know?
He shakes his hips and does a dance step.
They don't even know, they're like, what's the disco, bro? Is it a back problem? It's not a back problem. It's a room where your parents dry humped each other. They all join in. They're like, we are with you, Veer. This is a movement. And I'm like, no, it's not. Your other hand is eating noodles that your mom made. This is not a movement. We're just trying to plug into virtue together by behaving like animals on social media. Because it's turning us into that. You ever seen a lion roar? Instantly, what happens? The rest of the pack is like, that's a retweet. You ever seen wildebeest charging?
He acts like a charging wildebeest.
They don't know what the fuck they're charging at, who they're following, they're still charging. That's a hashtag. You ever seen two birds talk to each other? One takes off. Another one lands. Same sound, different movements. That's a TikTok. Maybe to them it sounds cooler, right? Like you and me, we hear... Maybe in bird language it sounds like... Someday.
He mimics a bird flying with his hand.
I love that song. Every time it plays in my mind, an influencer dies. Here's why I think your generation might save the world. You have zero emotional retention. You must articulate every experience mid-experience and receive validation for the experience before you have completed the experience. But what that means is you're not emotionally repressed. You don't carry, you know, baggage around. You just express yourself. You feel something new in your body. You're like, I think I identify as a woman. You're not repressed. You get on the internet. You're like, I think I identify as a woman.
He pretends to type and hit send.
That's how old I am. That's the sound I think the internet makes. Somebody across the world is like, hey man, I identify as a woman too. Here's what you need to do. Step 1, 2, 3. That's a privilege and a skill. Don't ever take that for granted. We had nobody for these conversations, right? All we had were Indian parents. If I walked into my parents' room like, good morning, mommy, daddy, I think...
He pauses anxiously as he play-acts a scene with his parents.
I identify as a woman.
He pretends to be an annoyed parent.
Okay. Could you identify as a woman who does well on her exams? How about that shit, huh? She would be very welcome in this house. A woman who gets into Harvard, we care about admission, not transition.
He shows his middle finger.
And I don't care about your transition either. It is the prerogative of every generation to shatter your social constructs through conversation. For you, that's gender. So go ahead, shatter it. We might wind up someplace cool. I hope you enjoy this fluidity as much as your parents enjoyed infidelity.
He puts his arm on his waist and smiles teasingly.
Oh, now we're uncomfortable, huh? You don't need to have a gender, but mom and dad still need to have principles, apparently, huh? Your parents were shackled by marriage, so they created a divorce industry. Your grandparents were shackled by race. That's what they broke down, those barriers. We don't have to talk about it. We can pretend like your grandmother goes to Jamaica every summer for the seafood. Guys, grow up. Your grandparents were 20 years old in the 60s. Your grandmom and granddad have been to one orgy minimum. They didn't call it that. They called it like Tambola Night or some shit like that, right? The Communist Party or some shit like that. For my generation, it was sexuality. Our parents couldn't have that conversation with us. When I was 13, my mom came to me like a detective who had solved a mystery. She's like, Veer, you don't have a girlfriend.
He squints his eyes and mimics his mother.
Women will not talk to you. If you're gay, tell me now, we'll take you to a doctor and fix you. And I was like, Mom, I'm not gay, I'm just a loser. Those two are the opposite of each other, right? Because gay men are winners, they're always leveling up. My friend Shashank, here's how we dress, here's how he dresses. Here's what we eat, here's what he dreams better than us.
He shows levels.
He sleeps with a smile on his face every night, just
He extends his arm with his eyes shut.
He wakes up, I'm like, Shashank, what the fuck are you dreaming about? He's like, sorbe.
He does it again.
Sorbe? Even your dreams are lactose-free and upper middle class, man. I've never dreamt of sorbet. I've dreamt of one Toblerone chocolate my entire life. And in my dream, I didn't get to eat the fucking chocolate. It still wound up inside me. But, you know...
He smiles impishly.
That joke gets that reaction every time. I'm not sure why, though. I don't know if it's because the joke is a twist or because of the texture of the Toblerone.
He draws triangles in the air with his finger.
Because you know it would take a while, right? Because you're... putting a triangle inside a circle, you know what I mean? These are my dreams. And this is how I want to use my platform.
He bends over as he chuckles.
But, you know, I was curious about my sexuality as well. So when I was 13, I made out with a boy. I tried it.
He shrugs.
You know, and in... And in 5 minutes, we knew it wasn't for us. It didn't feel wrong, but it didn't feel right for us. Make sense? Never talk about it. Most people in my generation don't because we studied science in Delhi public school. So we were always taught that all experiments must be success. So from my perspective, I'm not straight. I failed the homosexuality entrance exam.
He fakes disappointment.
Aced my SATs, failed my GAYs. But my first kiss was a straight boy. Yeah. So ladies, I empathize. Blah.
He expresses disgust.
We sign up for different things, right? You sign up for kissing, we sign up for exploring, you know? It's like the inside of my mouth was the earth and he believed it was flat.
He points to his jaw with disgust.
It's like, hey man, do you want to go around a little bit? He's like, no, I will keep going in the same direction till I find the end.
He moves his hand forward.
Look how uncomfortable the room is right now, by the way.
He walks across the stage.
I'm sorry, America. Am I punching down on straight men? These are the rules of comedy that you have set in the West, right? Always make fun of people who have more privilege than you do. That is called a punch up. Never make fun of people who have less privilege than you do. That is called a punch down. Have you heard of this? Yeah? What a bullshit Western construct this is. Because in the West, your privilege is consistent. Indian privilege is very volatile. Up and down, like a feather fluttering on the wind. One moment you're Forrest Gump, next moment you're Lal Singh Chadda. Up and down, up and down, up and down.
He walks back onto the sand.
Plus, honestly, I feel like in the West, most of you are calling out your own privilege before other people call out your privilege so that you can go back to quietly enjoying your privilege. Some of you look confused. The white people are like, he knows. The minute you add nuance to the privilege conversation, it falls apart. Like, okay, you tell me.
He sips his drink.
Could I, a brown man from India, could I make fun of Ivanka Trump? Is that a punch up? Yeah?
He raises his arm upwards.
Allowed? Let's add layers. What if Ivanka Trump has a baby with a Syrian Muslim refugee? It could happen. Love is love. Could I make fun of the baby? You weak bastards.
He puts out his hand to depict a child.
Guys, come on. Muslim refugee Trump baby is hilarious, guys.
He pats the imaginary child.
Guys, think about this baby. Inzamamul Trump. Think about him, all right?
He strokes the back of the imaginary child.
I don't know why he's 2 feet tall, all right? It's none of my business. Think about this fucking baby. He owns 75 buildings in Manhattan but has no homeland. Come on, huh? I know. Uncomfortable. I'll pull back. Vladimir Putin. Could I make fun of Vladimir Putin? Punch up. Let's add layers. What if Vladimir Putin had alopecia?
He points to his head.
Oh.
You thought Jada was the only bald dictator, huh?
He strokes his hair in jest.
He's just sad, sitting in the Kremlin, rubbing his head. Nothing grows in Russia. Please don't cancel me. I apologize. Please, I don't want to get cancelled. It would really interfere with my incarceration.
He walks off the sand.
This is the big Western comic complaint. I was with an American comic. He's like, Veer, cancel culture is insane. The other day, a mob came after me. A mob on Twitter.
He squeaks and gestures as if calling someone, then pretends to open a door and mockingly kicks his foot in the air.
It's like telling the freshly castrated that your balls itch. The most annoying article I ever read in the West is, why doesn't Indian comedy content push the envelope? Really, bitch? Because we looked inside the envelope. There are court cases inside the envelope. There is a court date on top of the envelope. So we make safe content, right? When we're in India, we make safe movies where India always defeats Pakistan.
He pumps his fist in the air.
Doesn't matter at what. Battle, cricket, inhaling, Uno, we always win. And we love these movies, yes? And then when we're abroad, we make safe family content. Oh, look at this sitcom about this South Asian family. Look how they get on with their neighbors. Do you know what they do at night? They watch Bollywood movies about shooting their neighbors. Oh, but they're so conservative. Yeah, they live abroad. That's where conservative India lives. Abroad. If you want your Indian children to be virgins at 25, you raise them in New Jersey, not New Delhi.
He waves to the top rows in the auditorium and mouths, sorry.
I know it hurt, but it's true. Like, am I wrong? Any people raised by Indian parents abroad? Come on, second generations, let me see you. Come on, Indian parents here. Yeah. I say this to you with respect. Your parents' version of India does not exist. It's archaic, it's gone. Also, your pop culture portrayal of India doesn't exist. This India where we all walk around like, oh, patata, patata, patata. Do we talk like that back home? No. No, Indians talk like that here. You know what that shit is? That's an American accent. Come home. Aja, aja.
He gestures as if calling someone.
Come home and witness modern India. In all of our chaos, but our infinitely larger beauty, come home. And if you're not going to come home, never lecture us from abroad about what it means to be Indian. In the words of every Mumbaiker I know, Maidan mein aane to gaan mara.
He holds up his middle finger with a straight face and then turns around and smiles to the camera while pointing to the audience. He speaks to an audience member in the front row.
I'll translate, don't worry. It's not as good in English, I'm just going to be honest. Because you heard the response in Hindi, right? It was like, you know.
He imitates a mic drop.
But in English, it literally translates into like, get on the field or shove something up your ass. It's not as good. It's also a very specific life choice.
He shrugs and looks around awkwardly.
I don't know what kind of situation you're in where the only two choices you have are... I don't even know what kind of field this is, you know? Is it like a battlefield? You know, like two guys are like, all right, lads, it's time to fight for our country and our land. So we're gonna get on that field. And if it's a battle they're looking for, well, fuck it, it's a battle they're gonna get. Are you with me? Nah, more, eh? I'm just gonna shove away something up my ass. I don't know. Ooh, like an athletic field, like two marathon runners, you know, they're like, okay, we have trained for these moments our entire lives. We are going to get on this field and we are going to win a gold medal for Nigeria. Are you with me? Okay, I'm very tired now. I'm going to shove something up my ass. Or like a farming American field, like, you know, two farmers are like, well, Jim, I see a lot of corn. Might be time to get on that field and cut her down. Nah, Pa. I'm just gonna cut the one and shove it up my ass. Excuse me, why is this taking so long? Well, we just improvised a bit right now. We gotta find an end. He's right, you know. You can't move on without an end. Jesus Christ. All right, look, I'm just gonna count down from 3 to 1. We just gonna move the fuck on. All right, Jim? All right, Paul? Yeah, that is okay with me. All right. Da. Who the fuck are you? KGB.
He repeats the dance move. The camera pans to the audience.
Dude, I'll get us back in the show. Speaking of failed anal, any parents here? It's a transition. You know, it's your job to tell them lies, make them believe in miracles, fucking God, tooth fairy, tax refunds, that comes from you. Like, do you remember the day you went out into the real world and discovered your parents are morons?
He sits down.
I was 6.
He takes a sip.
My father and I, we were on the balcony looking up at the stars. And I was like, Papa, what are the stars? My father, without missing a beat, he's like, Veer, there is a bright light up in heaven. That light used to blind human beings. So God took a black chart paper and put it between heaven and earth. Then God took a pencil and punctured holes in the chart paper. That became heaven's light. And I was like, my daddy is awesome.
He does a thumbs up.
And I took that information and went to a real school. And I discovered, no, my dad is on drugs, apparently. I was all passive-aggressive with my teacher for no reason. My teacher's like, a star is a burning mass of hydrogen. I'm like, this bitch doesn't know about the chart paper. She's like, your father is wrong. I'm like, get my dad's name out your fucking mouth.
He puffs his chest and pretends to slap someone.
Relax, behave. I would never slap a teacher. Their salaries do that.
A shot of Veer's sneakers in the sand appears.
Do you remember touching another human being's body, but you hadn't seen so much porn and Instagram that their body felt like a miracle? Like the first time I took a girl's shirt off, I was 16 years old, and I believed that if I pushed this breast in, the other one would become bigger.
He pushes his hands back and forth.
Don't judge me. She felt the same way about my balls, all right? She was like, if I squeeze him, he'll go to the neighbor's house. This is geopolitics, that's all it is, right? Apply pressure to the smaller community, grow the larger community, and cause migration, that's all it is. Yeah! We hunt for miracles, and I submit to you that they still exist. Hear me out for a second. New York, New Jersey.
He points to the front row and then to the back.
This.
He moves the mic away from his mouth and speaks.
It's a miracle. Hear me out. A microphone was invented 144 years ago. It has changed the world more than any man alive. A microphone started World War II. A microphone liberated black people. A microphone oppressed Jewish people. There are parts of the world where this enables big people to talk about small things. In my part of the world, this enables small people to talk about big things. The reason that I'm always in trouble...
He points sheepishly to the mic.
...is because I discovered the power of this microphone when I was 8 years old. Tonight, New York City, I'd love to tell you that story. Would you like to hear that story? I went to a fucked up boarding school where a lot of strange shit happened. Violence is an integral part of the Indian schooling system. Indians, have we been beaten?
Yes!
With equipment?
Yes!
With cricket bats and Commonwealth games of child abuse, really?
He gestures to himself.
I was once beaten with a table tennis racket for 2 hours.
He pretends to swing a bat.
Do you know the level of skill and precision you need? Even the victim is like, this is impressive, carry on, please. Just use the dotted side, I enjoy the exfoliation. We're beaten so much in school, we don't remember anything from school. All Indians just remember one useless equation, and turns out it's a metaphor for our entire lives. For some reason, every Indian here tonight remembers that A plus B whole square. Ready? Yeah? Deep breath. Not yet, yeah. Having like a mathematical monsoon. Wait for me, man. All right, here we go. A plus B whole square is equal to A square plus B square plus 2AB. Why do we remember this shit?
A shot of the equation printed on his shoe.
There are three types of people in the world. Those who know about the 2AB.
He counts with his fingers in the air.
Those who forgot about the 2AB. And guys who think the 2AB is magic.
He hovers his hand over his head dramatically.
And we made the third guy. I'm not...
He walks back to take a sip.
What happens to you in school will stay with you your entire lives? Sexually? You bailed on me. I'm disappointed. Can I do a sex story now? Yeah? So check this out. I was hooking up with this girl, right?
A spotlight comes on.
Right, and I was like, what do you like? Right, and she was like, Veer, choke me. And I was like, no. And she's like, it's my fetish. I want you to choke me. And I was like, no means no. And she's like, ooh, what are you, sensitive? And I was like, no, I'm famous. And she's like, I give you consent, choke me. So I was like, fine. So 3 weeks later, after lawyers had drawn up like non-disclosure agreements, stamp paper, notary, she's like, now's your moment. And I went like,
He clutches the mic stand gently.
Scary for the choker also. She's like, come on, be a man. I was like, fine.
Veer grabs the mic stand with his eyes tightly shut.
You like that, Mrs. Patel? She's like, who the fuck is Mrs. Patel? And I'm like, that's my maths teacher from class 9.
He continues to shake the stand vigorously.
She's like, is this sexual for you? He's like, no, it's mostly justice, but you do you, madam.
He shakes the stand again.
I was once beaten by a prefect 2 weeks in a row with a hockey stick. I don't want to say his name. I don't want legal trouble. It was Mohit Singhal, and...
He picks up the mic stand and places it in the sand.
There was a debate happening in school. This boy was 10 years older than I was. I remember he went up on stage and began his debate with a joke. The joke was this. Good evening, everyone. You're walking in the jungle and you meet a lion. What time is it? Time to run.
He covers his eyes with his hands disapprovingly.
I still can't tell you why I raised my hand. I went up on stage to ask him a question. I remember holding onto this microphone and feeling something I'd never felt before. Strength. You know, I couldn't sit, but suddenly I could stand. Looking at this boy who was 10 years older than I was and seeing something I'd never seen before, fear. And letting it fill me up, I mean, call it courage, call it what you like, right? And somehow being able to be like, I just want to tell you.
He points nervously.
Mohit Singhal. That if you are walking in the jungle and you meet a lion, it's not time to run, it's time to die, bitch. Now.
He shows the middle finger.
The school laughed. My God, they laughed. And I learned the most important lesson of my life, that words have meaning. Words cause and defeat violence. Words are memorable. I was on cloud 9 as I walked to dinner that evening. And something came out of a bush and pulled me into that bush. And it was Mohit Singhal. And he said, what time is it?
He looks up and mimics grabbing a collar.
And I said, time to die. He beat me for 2 more hours, but he couldn't beat the smile off my face. I remember just lying on the floor, bleeding uncontrollably, just laughing because I was like, oh shit, I deserve this.
He scratches his head.
But this is funny. I can see jokes from here. I think I like it here. I belong on the floor. The floor is my home. And this is freedom. I swear to God, it is. It's freedom that I think about, that I obsess about. On an Air India flight.
He sits down.
From Newark to Mumbai.
He picks up his drink.
An Air India air hostess offers me a glass of gin. I refuse. She says, Mr. Das, come with me. Takes me to the front of the plane. In the silence of a sleeping aircraft, this old lady puts her arms around me and I start to cry. And she just comforts me like a pro. Like this happens every day on Air India.
He takes a sip.
Possibly after people tried the non-veg meal. And she's like, I saw the video. I loved it. Now, whatever happens, you stand up straight, son. I know exactly what you're going through. And I say, Auntie, with all due respect, I'm not sure you do. And she says, don't be silly. Don't you and me have the same job? We're both just expected to serve angry uncles.
He drops the mic in awe from one hand to the other.
Sometimes all you need in life is an Air India auntie, you know? And look, I'm not arrogant, New York. I know why the uncles are angry. I get it, right? They love their country. I would never judge anybody for that. Do you love your country? Yeah? Well, look, most of them love their country. The rest are nationalists. But we'll unpack it. In every country in the world, there are patriots and there are nationalists. Patriots love their country and just do things about it. Nationalists love themselves and the cult of themselves, and they use their country to advertise it. It's just narcissism with a flag. Don't ever let anyone tell you how to love your own country. Now, that feels like information that you will soon speak at a party and pass off as your own. It's fine, but if you're ever in danger, people start beating you and they're like, where the fuck did you learn this nonsense? I need you to remember that my name is Aziz Ansari, all right? Or Hasan Minhaj. Same passport. We arrive in Mumbai drunk on gin. Well done, auntie. There are 200 paparazzi waiting for us at the airport. I'm nowhere even near that kind of famous. They follow us across the airport in silence. They wait outside our house for 10 days in silence. It is just silent. After 10 days, I call my lawyers and I'm like, are we okay? And they're like, yeah, we're rich, bitch. And I'm like, not you. Am I okay?
He pretends to speak into a phone.
They're like, Veer, these are police cases. The police will decide whether to convert them into charge sheets or not. It takes 35 very long days. In 7 different police stations in India, in 7 different cities, the police are shown my video. One by one, they all say, this is not a problem. We agree with this man. We are not going to take action.
Veer stoically holds back his emotions. He stands up and walks towards the audience.
And it's actually kind of breathtaking if you think about it. Comedians aren't brave. The police, now that is punching up.
He points upwards and walks off the sand.
On the night that I was called a terrorist in my home country, I was nominated for an Emmy Award.
He places his hand on his face in disbelief.
I was in New York for the Emmys for a show called Veer Das for India, for which I already had a legal case. By the time I walked the red carpet, I had 7 more. So I just had to fake it, right? I was on the red carpet and they were like, Veer, how does it feel to be in America right now? And I'm like, well, it's good to be outside of India. I'm not gonna lie.
He feigns fear as he answers.
It's good to be traveling. Do you feel like people are excited for you back home? Well, they are not calm. What are you gonna say if you win? Help? I don't know. I just remember feeling an intense sense of shame. God, please don't let me win. It'll really piss them off. Please, don't let me win. It'll really piss them off. And then I didn't win and it just pissed me off. I lost to this big French show and there was all these gorgeous French men walking around and they had heard what happened to me. And they came over and they're like, we heard what happened to you. It must be very stressful. Listen, many of us are going to have sex later tonight. You are a beautiful man. You can join. We will relieve your stress.
He looks into the distance, puzzled and amused.
And I was like, you're having an orgy to celebrate your Emmy? And he's like, no, it's Monday. I'm like, you know, sir, I appreciate the offer, but like, if I get caught, that's a very bad headline for me right now. Veer Das ostracized and sodomized by 2 different countries. 2 very different penal codes. He's like, no, I understand, but you know, if you don't want to, then there's a field next door. Every time I get nominated for an award, some shit goes down. 10 years ago, I was nominated for a Filmfare Award. Your ironic response is appropriate. Filmfare Awards, guys, are a very big deal. They're like our Oscar awards, except the Oscars are way more expensive to buy. I'd never been before, so Filmfare sent me a pass that sticks to the inside of your car. The pass says VVVVIP. Full form, VIP.
He looks confused.
I'd never been, so I stuck the pass on the outside of my windscreen. I'm on the Western Express Highway.
He pretends driving a car.
Out of the corner of my eye, I see a VVVVIP pass go VIP. Stick to an auto rickshaw and fuck off. This is what I mean about Indian privilege. Very volatile.
He snaps his fingers.
I, meanwhile, am stuck outside the gates of Film City trying to convince the security guard that I'm an actor in movies. And I swear to God, verbatim, he looks at me and he's like, if you're an actor in movies, I'm an actor in movies.
He looks disgusted as he mimics the guard.
So now I spend another hour trying to convince the security guard that he could be an actor in movies. I'm just like, no, sir, if I can be an actor in movies, you can be an actor in movies. And he's like, what? And I'm like, what? And I go inside. I'm a Jedi.
He points to his head.
As I get to the Filmfare Awards, they tell me that my producer, Aamir Khan, has boycotted these awards, has not submitted any footage of mine to play for when they announce my nomination. Yeah. Americans, you will not know who these actors are, but they're very, very talented, deserve their nominations. The lights get dim. They're like, and now? The nominee for Best Supporting Actor, at the Manik Chand Pan Pasand, travel partner Expedia, hair partner Sunsilk, makeup partner L'Oreal, partner Shadi.com, herpes partner Durex Filmfare Awards. For Zindagi Na Milegi Dubara, Farhan Akhtar, and a beautiful 20-second clip of that man acting plays on two screens. For Zindagi Na Milegi Dubara, Abhay Deol, and a beautiful 20-second clip of that man acting plays on two screens. And for Delhi Belly, Veer Das.
He signals to the audience to stop applauding.
And a passport photograph.
He looks at the audience seriously and breaks into a dance move.
A still photo for 20 seconds. In silence. 20 seconds of silence in a live show is excruciating.
Veer counts to 20 on his fingers in silence as he looks out towards the audience, mouthing an expletive every 5 counts.
It looked like I had died. This was my in memoriam moment of silence. Everybody got all sad and shit. They stood up, they're like, oh my God, he died so young. Who is he? Then they put the camera on me. I didn't know what to do, so I mourned myself. I'm like, dead, dead, dead.
He points to a make-believe screen.
He's not dead yet. He's gonna kill himself tonight. And I thought about it that night. I thought about it the night of the Emmy.
He hesitates, nervously holding on to the mic stand.
Look, I would not wish.
He shakes his head with regret.
Feeling like you've let your entire country down on my worst enemy. I wouldn't. And I was clear that day, and I'm clear standing before you right now. If I've ever created a world in which I don't get to touch a microphone, I have zero interest in that world. I just remember standing, like, I was at this fancy hotel called the Beekman in New York, and every floor, it was hollow on the inside and it overlooked the lobby. And I just remember standing on my floor just thinking, oh, I fucked it up. They're never gonna let me, I should jump. You know, I'm in this fancy Emmy outfit, they can send me off in the outfit, it's perfect. But then I remembered that my wife is sleeping in the other room, and that's an awkward checkout. From the hotel. And life. Plus, this is a hotel in New York City. If I just land in the lobby, I'll scare the shit out of 3 countries minimum, right? Some British person is like, all right, yeah, do you have Netflix? I'm sorry, there's a dead Indian in the lobby. What's going on? Do they want independence again? What's up? 2 American girls are at the bar just like, Angela, he doesn't deserve you. You should leave him. Shh, tsh, but life is short, you know? Go in the woods, it'll be fine. Some kid is on Instagram in the lobby, suddenly, shh, tsh, boop.
Someday you leave this world behind. So live a life again.
He holds out his hand as if taking a selfie.
But I'm like, no, I'm not going in the darkness. If I go, I'll go in sunlight like a man. So I just smoked cigarettes, looked at God's chart paper, and at midnight, my management from India calls. Every producer, director, movie studio, venue, sponsor, client canceled on me. And I was like, I get it, but I have mouths to, and they're like, Veer, nobody will work with you right now. You have a social media following, so maybe. So I'm an influencer?
He points to himself, shocked.
Fuck sunlight, let's jump right now. So I did the one thing that every artist does when they realize their career is over. Drugs. I got high as balls, I smoked weed. And when I did, I remembered why I don't smoke weed. It's because weed doesn't relax me, it just makes me erect and afraid. Which is my least favorite kind of erect. And my favorite kind of afraid, but... Is this a weird combination, right? This is why horny and scared. This is why I don't do drugs at music festivals, right? Like, I don't want to be at a Coldplay concert like, look at the stars!
He holds the mic to his crotch and makes the rock sign with the other hand. He waves his hand to the music.
So now, I can't even commit suicide because all I keep thinking about is, what if I jump, land on it, and don't die? Bro. Even if I do die, this is a horrible obituary. Veer Das was found naked, dead, alone, afraid. In a large hotel lobby in New York with a medium-sized hard-on. He was a stand-up till the end.
He walks to the stool and takes a seat.
After 2 months, my family is allowed to turn our phones on again. They explode. It's not hatred, it's love. Millions and millions of messages of kindness from across the world. It is direct messages. And then all your tickets sell out in 5 minutes.
Veer shakes his head and waves his hand to indicate a no.
And everyone from Bollywood calls and now wants to... And everywhere you go, people meet you with love and warmth and kindness. And you meet them with suspicion and resentment. You do, because you're like, where the fuck were you when I needed you?
He slams his hand on his leg.
When my world was burning, when my family was under fire, where the fuck was your voice? I thought you didn't exist. And then you grow up a little bit. You stop feeling sorry for yourself. And you realize that hate is yelled, but love is felt. It is unfair to expect people to yell love. You should just be grateful that they feel it in the first place. And trust that it will always outlast the hate. And that's not even history. That's just basic Harry Potter. But if you are ever at the receiving end of hate or feel like your nation is lost in it, from my family to you, I just want you to know that love is always playing right underneath. You just can't hear it in the darkness. You got to hang out till sunlight and you'll hear it. It's soft, but it's not weak, I promise you. The problem is they just both play at the same time. It's almost like we come from two...
Veer shakes his head in disapproval.
I don't repeat jokes. And then what? You're supposed to go back to doing this again, like nothing ever happened. But it did. I mourned my whole career. I never thought I'd see you again. So now you and me, back in the same room together, this is an unplanned blessing that I could not be more grateful for in my heart. But it's different. I have nothing left to lose. I have no one left to impress. I will never be mainstream or cool again. I am finished. But I'm free. It's like for the longest time, you and me, we just coexisted, right? A plus B. And then some shit happened and somebody whole squared us. And now I feel like B square. And all I want to do is make you feel like A square. And whatever happens next, the sound of your laughter, that's 2AB. We can make magic together.
Veer signals the audience to hold the applause.
I will never defame India on foreign soil ever again. So now I just carry Indian soil with me wherever I go.
He points to the sand on the stage floor. Flashes of previous shots of the waves and close-ups of Veer's sneakers appear. He picks up the egg cup and stands up, smiling.
Tonight you are watching a performance from a comedian from Mumbai on the actual sands of Juhu Beach. That I travel with. Every single time I made fun of my country tonight, I made sure I was standing on Indian soil. I timed every word to my feet. Don't believe me? Watch my special again. This is an awkward conversation with customs, by the way. They're just like, sir, why are you traveling with a suitcase full of sand? I'm like, patriotism? There aren't even that many airlines that will let you check in a bag full of sand. But there is one.
He turns around and sets the egg cup down.
I don't care where I go from here, I take Mumbai sand with me, and we are flying Air India, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have ever flown Emirates, you know what a goddamn compromise that is. Have you flown Emirates here?
He points to the front row.
Maybe not you guys, but still, you know.
He points to the balcony.
I'm sorry. He's getting emotional. I had to bring it back. I'm sorry. I'm sure you will someday. Just work hard. Or sleep with these guys.
He thumps his chest with his fist and points to the front row.
This is my final story for the evening. It is a very privileged story. But I will endear myself to you through the course of this story. Are we ready? Yeah?
He sits down and the lights dim.
So I was flying first class on Emirates, guys. And, that first class seat is tremendous. Have you seen it? Yeah? You've walked by it on your way to...
He points to the balcony.
Air hostess is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. She comes up, she's like, Mr. Das, there's a shower. Would you like to shower an hour before landing? Or 2 hours before landing? And I was so taken with her beauty, I thought she meant with her. I was like, madam, this is the number one airline in the world. UNESCO voted number one airline in the world.
He stands up and walks forward.
Then you go to first class, there's a bathroom in first class. It's the size of an apartment. Your apartment. But still, you know. They give you one towel, you get naked. I start to... This is not how I shower, I'm sorry.
He does a dance move.
All Indians don't shower in Bollywood movies. That's not how this works. No, I just get the soap, right? And I'm jogging up and...
He pretends to apply soap.
What the fuck? What do you say in New York if you don't say jogging up? What's the word? Lather? Lather, madam? Lather? With respect to... All right,
He mimics spitting.
I'm very sorry. I don't mean to... Like, I just... Lather has super, like... My name is Sandeep, but call me Sandy energy, you know? Now, there's a green light. I don't see the light go red because I'm a back showerer. I don't shower like this. I shower like that. I like it this way. Really? Just me? Nobody else? Yeah, madam? Yeah, madam? There you go. I don't like hot liquid splashing in my face. I like it trickling down my ass. Madam? Madam? It's because when I... Very sorry. When I was growing up, I didn't have a shower. I had a bucket. Bucket had a hot tap and a cold tap. You had to mix the temperature yourself. To get the temperature right, you had to be a thermal engineer slash psychic.
The camera pans to the front row where the audience is in splits.
It was always 40 degrees too warm. So what did we do? Safety position, take a mug, put it on our back, let it trickle down our back and cool down before it cradled our testicles. This is science. You only get 10 minutes of water. This lady didn't tell me that shit. When I'm at peak form, the light goes red and the water goes out. I look like I've been molested by a cloud at this point.
He stretches his arms out and hobbles around awkwardly.
So now I come out of the shower to the sink with like my own personal marshmallow. And I'm just doing like a bird bath type of a situation. But like, I'm not tall enough to just lower my junk into the sink and give it a casual putch-putch, right?
He mock slaps his penis.
So now I have to take palmfuls and splash them up into dark places. But the entire bathroom is flooded. It is soaking. And I will not be the Indian man who fucked up the bathroom. So now I am naked on all fours with my one towel mopping the Emirates first class bathroom. Mopping it clean.
He's on his knees mopping the floor.
Why? For my country. You call me a traitor? I'm a janitor is what I am. You call me a slave? I'm also a sweeper. I did such a good job. At the end of it, she asked me to do the other bathroom. She's like, Mr. Das, you're a mess. You're so good on the floor. I'm like, ma'am, I like it here. I can see jokes from here. I belong on the floor. The floor is home. My name is Veer Das. It was an honor performing for you tonight.
Veer is on his knees, clutching a fistful of sand as the audience gives him a standing ovation. The scene shifts between Veer Das walking at Washington Square Park and a welcome to the beach sign against a coconut palm. An airplane takes off against the blue sky. The waves roll back and forth towards the Juhu Beach shoreline. Veer Das is at Juhu Beach, dressed casually in a deep red t-shirt and rolled up trousers with a Ziploc bag in each hand. A split screen shows the audience applauding and Veer Das squatting on the beach collecting sand. Veer walks into a place where marquee lights read Comedy Cellar. Veer watches the sea in deep thought. Scenes alternate between Veer standing pensively backstage, the sea, Veer on stage, shots of a city, and Veer doing a set at the Comedy Cellar. In a beanie and green t-shirt, Veer opens a suitcase to reveal a zip pouch filled with sand. The screen splits, showing a montage of Veer pouring the sand into an egg cup. A close-up shot of the egg cup transitions to Veer Das pointing to the sand on the stage floor. We cut to various scenes of Veer performing on stage, finally closing in on the empty egg cup. Credits roll. Directed by Veer Das. Written and performed by Veer Das. Executive Producer, Veer Das. Executive Producer, Reg Tigerman. Executive Producer, Matthew Vaughan. Additional credits roll. A logo appears, Zazu Productions. Two blue headless zombies face each other, their spilled guts spelling out rotten science.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.